Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and this is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you live on December 7th, 2008. It's Sunday evening at 8.02 p.m. Central Daylight Time. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good evening, everyone. This evening, we're broadcasting not only over Blog Talk Radio and streaming internet radio, but also over Restore the Republic Radio. We're part of their network now on Sunday evening, and we appreciate very much their support in our endeavor, and we will support them in turn. So we will continue to use the Blog Talk Radio call-in number because we've been using that for years and didn't want to change anything midstream. So for those of you who are on Restore the Republic Radio Broadcasting Network, please call in 646-652-4620 with any questions or comments you might have. And you don't have to stick to my particular subject. It can be anything at all, okay? We'll make this an open mic night, but I do have a lot of things I'd like to discuss. So the number again is 646-652-4620. Also, you can send your comments to us anytime to comments at libertytalkradio.com. That's comments at libertytalkradio.com. I also encourage you. Oh boy, we're having troubles again. We are having feedback problems. I don't know how to solve that. Folks, we're going to have to sign off, and I'm going to have to hook up once again. Oh, I think we got. We said that. Did we get that solved? Oh, we got that solved. Maybe we don't have that feedback problem anymore. That's great. I also encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, mytwocentsonline.com. He discusses economic issues and how they affect you. You can also listen to Andy's commentary on contraryinvestorscafe.com. His last newsletter, which he makes available weekly, free of charge, that you can get from mytwocentsonline.com is excellent, and it gives you an overview, a macroeconomic overview of what is going on. Lastly, I would like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. Folks, I must apologize for my voice. I am still fighting a throat infection. They have not found the cause yet. I'm on antibiotics. Hasn't gotten much better. I'm gaining my voice back a little bit, but it's pretty painful. And, you know, it's a pain in the neck because every time you swallow, you chew, or whatever, you speak, it hurts. So I'm going to try to make it through this broadcast. I will ask my listeners to please call in, because if you call in, I do less speaking. If I do less speaking, I may be able to save my voice this evening, because we're on for an hour from 8 to 9 o'clock. We have 55 minutes to go. The call-in number again is 646-652-4620. I have a couple of emails that I'm would like to read to you. This is from my friend Tom. He's in Chile. He's an American national, but he also decided to leave the country, as so many people are deciding to do, which is kind of surprising. I hear that more and more often. And he talks about his house being on one side. He has a view of the Pacific Pond, and on the other side, he has the Andes Mountain, quite remote. He likes it there very much, lives a very simple lifestyle, man after my own heart. And he says, Joe, I have a website. I sponsor Google ads to pay for my server. 2 months ago, Google was paying me about $60 to $70 a month for advertising they sold on the site. Last month, I made only $40. Yes, I think we may be in a recession. It took all the overeducated whiz kids 12 months to tell us this. You're right, Tom. He said, but here's a story of a businessman who happens to be my brother. Now, listen to this, folks. The article was in today's paper here that a number of local employees are laying off employees. Construction is at a standstill. If something isn't done soon, there will be a lot more problems. He says, I have 25,000 square feet of office space that is empty, no prospect. Multiply that by the rental rate of $13 per square foot. That is a lot of money. Mortgage payment is about $30,000 per month. Lender wants their money every month, whether or not I have any rent tenants. With all the layoffs, etc., no one is acquiring new space. Most are downsizing. Some tenants prefer to bankrupt rather than to have long-term obligations of rent in a down market. He says, I was crying about my $20 a month loss. Just glad I'm not a businessman and glad I'm retired and not looking for a job. You're right, Tom. I'm in the same position you're in. I'm out of the job market. Of course, I have my own business. And I've already warned my employees, not warned them, but we discussed it. They warned me, actually, because they are in contact with our customers all the time, and they're telling me that things are getting kind of bad. Companies that were at one time testing 100 employees are now only testing 30. And, of course, if that trend continues, which we anticipate that it will, we may have to close our doors as well. Now, you also – thank you very much, Tom. You also hear a lot about globalization. And, you know, I've often wondered what the definition of globalization was. So I have this from another one of my listeners, friends, Ray. And Ray says, finally, a definition of globalization you can understand and to which I can now relate. He says, question, what is the truest definition of globalization? Answer, Princess Diana's death. How come? The answer, an English princess with an Egyptian boyfriend crashes in a French tunnel driving a German car with a Dutch engine driven by a Belgian who was drunk on Scottish whiskey, followed closely by Italian paparazzi on Japanese motorcycles, treated by an American doctor using Brazilian medicines. This is sent to you on, this is sent to you by an American using Bill Gates technology, and you're probably reading this on your computer that uses Taiwanese chips and a Korean monitor assembled by Bangladeshi workers in a Singapore plant, transported by Indian lorry drivers, hijacked by Indonesians, unloaded by Sicilian longshoremen, and trucked to you by Mexican. That, my friends, is globalization, Ray. Ray, thank you so much. I guess we couldn't ask for anything more. But you know what's strange about globalization? The same problem we have with globalization is the definition we have of government. We expect globalization to be something. And actually, globalization always existed on various scales. But the problem with globalization is not that it exists, because it has always existed. Marco Polo, you know, went to the Far East and all this other stuff. I mean, this always, that's where he got the silk, and this is where we traded. We got salt and all this other stuff back and forth. But the problem we have with globalization is not globalization in itself. The problem we have is that we have people, governments, involved in globalization. You see, for globalization to truly work and to benefit everyone, there should be no government involvement on any side. In other words, you have a person in a country who is making something and looks at the entire globe as its resource and says, now, I need this particular resource, this particular piece or service or whatever. Where do I go to get this? Now, it may be cheaper halfway around the world, but the timing in order for shipping to get here, there just may be too many complications. So you weigh all of these pros and cons, and you make the decisions as to where you're going to get this resource that you need. And that is globalization, and we've always done that. The problem is now that governments are involved and you have all these trade agreements, the World Trade Organization, you know, the international banking and all this other stuff, tariffs, of course, you know, governments get involved and they say, well, you know, we got to protect this industry. They say, well, if you protect this industry, we're going to protect that industry. And it goes back and forth. Then we have all these trade agreements that are hundreds and hundreds of pages long. No one understands them, creates nothing but discontent on both sides, and you wind up with war. I mean, you don't wind up with a very peaceful settlement at all. Now, my question is, all right, I think I understand globalization. That means you buy whatever you want, wherever you want it. I mean, it's very simple. What I don't understand, and I don't think anyone else does, and no one else can really define it, is why government must be involved. All right, this leads me to... it was an article, a news article on, Lou Dobbs. I was watching Lou Dobbs just for a few minutes before I stoked up the station here, and they were talking about the percent toys that had lead paint and other toxins. These are toys for little kids, and. You know, where is government involved? Where is government and the government agency? Whatever they did, there is a government agency, but that government agency is protecting the toy manufacturers more than it protects the consumer. And they're calling for, you know, government investigation and more government involvement and more resources to check to see the ding, bada bing, bada bang, bada boom, bada. Right. Stop. Everyone just stop right there. It is very simple, folks. Don't buy any toys. All gone. Problem solved. Don't buy any toys. Is that so difficult? Now, what's the response? Oh, I have to buy my children something. No, you don't. And this is what's going to lead me into another subject. See, I was listening to a program on NPR that was very interesting. They were talking about how in Japan they were going back to the more traditional ways of living. And one of the traditional ways of living was to buy very, very small houses or have very small apartments. And they're talking about houses of between 500 and 1,000 square feet for a family of four. And what they do is they do not possess many things. They don't have tons of stuff like we have. We Americans, we buy a house, it can be much more than we need, and typically it's always much more than we ever need, and then we fill it with stuff. I have friends that have gigantic houses. You go in and it's jammed. You go into the garage, you can't walk through the garage. It's jammed with stuff. You go to the attic, it's jammed with stuff. If they have a basement, it's jammed with stuff. I want us to really stop and think. And the Japanese have it right. They have absolutely no space for anything but the absolute necessities. So when they buy something, they buy something of very, very high quality. If it is a box to hold something, it's usually a beautiful box, you know, made of porcelain or something, or I mean something of value, and they keep it for the rest of their lives, and they just buy what that box can hold. When they finish sleeping at night, they roll up their beds, and then that same room is used for something else. They don't have a special bedroom and a guest best bedroom and this bedroom and a bedroom for the kids upstairs. This is insanity. But this is the way we live. And what they do is when they buy something new, the first thing they need to do is replace it. Everything gets replaced. Nothing gets added to. So if they buy something new, that means they have to deduct something from their inventory. If a woman buys a new dress, the old dress has to go. If the old dress doesn't go, she doesn't buy the new one. Now, people, my wife, she says, well, I wonder how their economy survives in something, you know, in that type of atmosphere. I said, well, they produce a lot of stuff and they sell it overseas. And most of the stuff that they sell, they don't sell to themselves. They sell to around the world. And their wages are lower, you know, their productivity is very high, and their wages, their quality is exemplary, as we all know. And that's how they survive. Folks, it's already 7:45, and I'd like to tell you our telephone number, 646-652-4620. I'm Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. I'm your host. And tonight we just ask you to call in if you have any questions or comments about what we're talking about or something else, please do so. And for those people who are listening on Restore the Republic Radio, we welcome you. Thank you very much for coming in. But please call in on the 646-652-4620 number. I think we're coming in for station identification, so we'll be back in just a moment.
SurvivalFoodNow.com. We are living in uncertain times. Unless you've been living under a rock, you understand that indeed times are changing. Not only are we hearing about the energy and food crisis, but we're feeling the effects of both. SurvivalFoodNow.com has been established by a group of concerned Americans who care about the future of our families and yours. We at SurvivalFoodNow.com understand there are three basic necessities for our survival: air, water, and food. We all have air. The majority has water, but only 0.2% have a food supply. So what are you going to do? There are only two choices. Be prepared or don't be prepared. The security of your family may very well depend on the choice you make. SurvivalFoodNow.com's mission is not to cause fear or panic. Our mission is simply to let our fellow countrymen know they only have two choices. SurvivalFoodNow.com's knows being prepared can be a costly proposition, but it is our goal to get a storable food supply to all our members. Just $50 a month, auto ship, will keep you prepared. SurvivalFoodNow.com.
Did you know an ad on Restore the Republic Radio, like this one you're hearing right now, sells for less than $15 for a whole week of advertising? If you have a product or service that sells to the Patriot Freedom Movement, RTR Radio is the place for you to advertise. Visit RTRradio.com, click on the advertise link, and place your bid now. Not only are you building your business, but you're helping support us, allowing us to continue to bring all the news and information that the mainstream media refuses to share with the public. We appreciate your support. We look forward to working with you to create a mutually beneficial business relationship here at RTRradio.com.
25 years ago, a man named Clayton Teddington prayed for guidance and asked God what he could do to help mankind. That night, Clayton awoke to a formula written in lights on his bedroom wall. He woke his wife, but she saw nothing and told him to go back to sleep. He made her get up and write down what he saw. The next morning, he followed the formula written on his wall, and they found they had made soap. The soap was perfect. No carcinogens, no soap scum, and it cleaned so well, restaurants started using it to clean the grease off their floors and ovens. Yet it was so gentle that his neighbors started using it in their showers. A second product was born called Neutralizer, a clear alkaline energized water. It was the foundation for the soap, but when taken internally, it had so many health benefits it could truly be called miraculous. Six products are now in the M2 line. Soap. Soap with moisturizer, neutralizer, neutralizer gel, moisturizer, and deodorant stone. The products sell for $16 each plus $5 shipping, or you can get all six for $100. Call 505-908-9498 or go to freeamerican.com store and order securely online. Are you suffering from election shell shock? We've got the perfect therapy, the surefire cure. Regain your sanity and restore your equilibrium by reading The Grim Shadow, a modern-day fable. A story packed full of action, suspense, betrayal, terrorism, and a dubious political election. The Grim Shadow is at its core a parable of courage, loyalty, and love. Check out the reviews at thegrimshadow.com. Little book, big story. the ultimate allegory.
Welcome back to Liberty Talk Radio. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano. We'll continue our discussion right after the music, I guess. Okay, enough of the music. This is Liberty Talk Radio. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano. I apologize. I'm losing my voice. I've been having throat infections and whatever. We can't figure out why, how, and where, and I'm on all sorts of medication, and nothing's helped so far, but I'm going to try to make it through this broadcast. But I would appreciate it if you can help me out. If I have any listeners out there, please call in 646-652-4620. 646-652-4620. Of course, you can send your comments to comments at libertytalkradio.com at any time. Well, I was before our commercial, I was talking about the Japanese and how they're downsizing and how they have very small houses and how they buy things that are of value and they cherish those things a lot more than we cherish what we have. In other words, they have less, but they have higher quality and they don't have cluttered houses, but they're very small. We tend to be the opposite. Now, the reason why I brought that up is because that ties into this toxic toy stuff. You see, in Japan, if toys were toxic, they just wouldn't buy any. I mean, there wouldn't be any revolution. There wouldn't be cries to the government that they should do something. If toys were unsafe, they just wouldn't buy any. Well, they wouldn't buy it. They would probably be happy not to buy any because they don't have any space for anything. And they only buy the top-notch things for their kids, and their kids only have a couple of things. Not like our kids. They have millions of toys, and they don't know what to grab first. And it's important that our mentality here in America has changed so dramatically over the years. And that, you know, just because we can't get all those toys that are being advertised, we feel that our rights and our freedom and our, you know, our liberties have been taken away from us because we can't buy that doll for our kid. And yet it's such a poor mentality. It's a bankrupt mentality. I'd like to bring you back, for example, to the 1930s. I encourage you to watch cartoons and go to the Blockbuster and you can buy these cartoons. Get the oldest cartoons that you can find. And what you will find is you'll find in those cartoons, and they're usually, you know, Farmer Gray type things or people in the city and kids, you know, doing silly things or whatever. But the important thing is to look at the way they depicted the average American. Every kid had overalls or had slacks, wore slacks or overalls, you know, winter and summer, and they all had patches on their knees. Now, what that was saying is that they didn't throw things away. In other words, you got a pair of slacks. Your mother bought you a pair of slacks that were 2 and 3 sizes too large for you. Why did they do that? Were they mean? Were they wanting you to look silly? No, because you grew into those jeans. In other words, if you bought a size 5 and, you know, she bought a size 7 or 8 and you bought it when you were a size 5 and you grew to 5, 6, 7, 8, you know, and as you wore those jeans over the years, Ellis's jeans wore out, she patched them. And that's why all the kids had patches on their jeans, because they had those jeans for a long period of time. Well, just think of the mentality of the Americans today. What we do is we go out and buy jeans. They last, oh, maybe a couple of months. First of all, they're not made very well. They are made in China, and the fabric is much thinner, but they don't last very long, you know. But that's okay, because we buy on style. And that style may go out after a few months, or obviously the next year they're taboo. No kid would wear last year's jeans this year's. I mean, you would be the fink of the school. So even if you're in the grade school, they do that now. I mean, in really early years. So you wind up buying another pair of jeans. And then you start piling up all this stuff. If you notice on those old cartoons, and I really encourage you to do this, it's a real eye-opener. If you look at the cartoons with the eye that I'm suggesting, and you look at the cars, and you'll notice that every car that they have is an old clunker like a Model T. Every one, the wheels had patches on them. I mean, they had silly patches. They were external patches on the wheels themselves. And everything was sort of patched up. If you notice, inside the houses, the rooms were pretty big. But you'll notice one thing is that there's nothing in the rooms. You see, I grew up, well, when I was growing up, I went to my friends' houses, and not houses, they were apartments. I lived in New York, and they had pretty sizable apartments. And I remember they just used to be rooms, and there'd be a couple of chairs in them. I mean, people didn't possess things. There weren't many things. The big problem we have today is that our economy is based on us consuming stuff consistently, constantly, going in debt and buying stuff. I mean, we buy stuff and as a result going in debt because we can't afford all the stuff that we have. And yet, that's not the good way to live. It's not a right way to live. We should buy one thing and take care of it. We should cherish more of what we have. We should appreciate what we have, but we don't do that. If you watch TV, I mean, all you get is commercial at the. I hate TV. You know how much I hate TV. I watch it once in a while and I put it on, and after a few minutes, I can't take it anymore. I try to look up something specifically, and then I get the hell out of that thing. And I tell you, if that TV, someone stole it, came in my house, stole a TV, and just, I would be a happy camper because I get nothing from it. All I do is get advertised to. I get bombarded with advertisements to buy more stuff and more stuff and more stuff. Folks, where we are now is we are a nation that is obsessed with consuming things. And if we're not going out to the mall shopping, look what kids do. I mean, many people do. On their day off, they go shopping. And when they buy more stuff, they go more in debt. And they buy stuff that they don't need. I mean need, not want or like to have, but need. And as a result, we spend that time shopping, and we're not spending time doing the more important things, like developing relationships in our family, within our friendship, within our community. You know, we're not reading, we're not becoming more intelligent. We're becoming dumber because we're avoiding everything and we're just going mindlessly chasing ourselves out there, buying more garbage. And then we come back and we say, oh, and then you hear ads on TV that go something like this. You know, credit card, you know, Mrs. Jones got hit with tremendous credit card debt. You know, it sounds as if that Mrs. Jones had nothing to do with the credit card debt, and one day in the mail, someone mailed to her credit card debt, and now she has to pay it. Poor Mrs. Jones. You know, that's ludicrous. That's ridiculous. I mean, we make it seem as if, you know, you see these guys with these debt collection agencies and consolidation agencies. They show guys, you know, sweating over their bills and whatever. And it seems as if, like, you know, just unexpectedly that he got sick, and now he has a big hospital bill that he didn't anticipate. But no, these are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of purchases over years' period of time. This person knew they were buying the stuff. They knew they had to pay for it. I mean, it's no surprise that he now owes $28,000 on his credit card, and what he has to show for it. Does he have those cherished items like the Japanese have? No, he's got a house full of junk. Junk that he couldn't sell. You know, in my house, I throw everything away. Anything that gets in my way, I just give away. I don't care what it's worth. I don't care what the cost is. Just get rid of the junk. I want it out of my house. I don't want to have anything. My ideal house is a tent, so I can't find anything. And whatever I have on my back, that's what I own. That's the way I like to live. That's the way I prefer to live. But, you know, I can't do that. You know, I have a house and kids and wife and all that, and not everyone agrees with that lifestyle. But you please understand, one of the reasons why we have this problem is because we have been indoctrinated that the only way to be happy is to be like the people on TV. And what do the people on TV do? They buy. They buy, they buy, and they buy. Folks, my name is Joe Cristiano. I'm your host. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Our call-in number is 646-652-4620. Please do call in. I'm losing my voice. I've been having the problems with my throat. I'm on antibiotics. They don't seem to be working. And I do need your help because I don't think I'm going to make it for the next half hour. Please call in 646-652-4620. We are on Restore the Republic Radio, but we're using our Blog Talk Radio call-in number because I've been using that for the past couple of years, and we're new to Restore the Republic Radio, which we appreciate very much them putting us on the air. All right, now, we have five lines, by the way, and they're all open. I would wish for someone to call in. Even if you just call in, say hello, give me a break, I would appreciate that. We are now, once we get ourselves in the position that we're in, once we find ourselves in debt, we possess a lot of junk. When we stop buying junk, we like junkies. We get depressed because we're not out there buying stuff. You know, and what we want to do is we want so badly, we're like junkies, we have to just, we want someone to fix this because we can't fix it ourselves because we can never fix it ourselves. We want someone to fix it for us, to do something so we can have a little bit more money so we can go out there and go shopping again. And we still saw this during the decade after the year 2000, you know, the 21st century. The first decade of the 21st century, you know, where people refinanced their houses and to pay their credit card debt, and then they built up their credit card debt again. Then they went through reverse mortgages, and then they spent the money in their 401k plans, etc. And then the stock market crashed, and now they have no money at all. They have very little in their 401k plan. They have no retirement. But what they have is they have exactly what the TV said that they're going to have. They're going to have high bills, you know, that they couldn't pay, and they're going to have a house full of junk that they couldn't sell and stuff that they don't need that will not help them with their survival day to day. And people are all strapped now. Now, folks, we have no one to blame but ourselves. We can blame government. We can blame everyone we want. But it is the American mentality that really did us in. We changed from a very industrious type of population, people who came over here from Eastern and Western Europe who were accustomed to working hard all day. And if they made money, they saved that money, and they wouldn't most likely trust any bank with the money either. And our money used to be honest money. It used to be backed by silver and gold. It was worth something worldwide. No one could ever take it away from you. I mean, you know, because it was backed by silver and gold. It was as good as gold. It was as good as silver. And now we have a worthless currency backed by nothing whatsoever. And the only coin that's still honest coinage, honest money, is the nickel, because the nickel is 75% copper and 25% nickel. And at least there's at least a nickel's worth of nickel in each nickel. In fact, there's a little bit more than that in each nickel. And when you consider the cost of production and all that, a nickel is worth more than 5 cents. But you see, that's the only piece of honest money we have. And if you can find some old pennies that are 95% copper, that's the only other one. You can't find any other silver coins. That's impossible. If you do, it'll be 1 in 10 million. But you see, what we did is that we were very successful in keeping this economy going, this engine going, by buying and buying and buying and indebting and debting and debting. And now we've come to a point where we can't go any further. So what does the government do? Instead of putting on the brakes and saying, we're going to suffer, it's going to be a bad one, just hold on to your hats and we're going to see if we can ride this thing through. No, the government wants to make this painless by doing a couple of things. Lowering interest rates, which was one of the reasons why we got in this problem in the first place. So they're going to lower the interest rates more, and now we're down to 1%. We're going to go below 1%. In fact, it's negative, actually. We've included inflation in the whole bit. The interest rates are actually negative, right? And they are printing more money and providing stimulus packages and bailing out anybody who seems to need the money. Well, just think of that. I mean, all of a sudden, this worthless money that we think is, we know is worthless, is being printed and given out to companies so that they can stay in business when they shouldn't be staying in business because they're making stuff that people don't want. And yet, they're keeping people employed so people could continue to go out and consume more stuff that they don't need. Just think of the insanity of this whole thing. You know, if you played this scenario out and you weren't involved at all, somehow you were detached looking in, you'd say, that's stupid, that would never exist. That could not exist, that couldn't be. I mean, no one would be that stupid. I mean, it's a ridiculous scenario. You have people buying stuff that they don't need and that they can't afford, and they're going in debt, and if they lose their job, they have to lose their house and everything, they'd be thrown on the street. That's stupid. No one would be that stupid. Well, you got most Americans in that shape right now. And it's unfortunately, we are that stupid. But I think one reason why we do that is because we think the government will bail us out. You see, we are not taking care of ourselves. We're not saying, I've always felt that no one's going to bail me out. You know, people say, you know, Joe, how do you plan? I never plan. I really never plan anything. I may want to do something and go ahead and do it, but I don't plan. But I try to be prepared. I say, don't plan, just be prepared. When an opportunity comes up, you'll be prepared to take care of it. So save your money. Make sure that you don't squander it. Don't buy a lot of crap, you know? And people say, oh, yeah. No one listens, and they just go on their own way. Now, I've lost a fortune, by the way, not a fortune, I should say, but I lost a vast majority of my investments because I have mostly in commodities, and that's down to practically nothing. But I am I'm still optimistic because I know that's going to bounce back in spades. I know it's going to go back exponentially as soon as inflation hits, and we anticipate inflation hitting within the next year. And then gold, silver, and all commodities are going to have to adjust in price according to inflation. So I'm staying exactly where I am. Right now I'm hurting, but I can survive it. I'm not borrowing any money. Don't need it. Just stay tuned, please. We're coming in for a commercial. This is Joe Cristiano, Liberty Talk Radio. Please stay tuned. We have a caller, 408 area code. Please stay on the line.
From the producer of Beyond Treason comes a new tale of deception and political spin.
We're not mining through the personal lives of millions of innocent Americans.
What if legislation that was supposed to protect our freedoms actually took them away?
Here's your Patriot Act! Here's your...
What if you could be arrested for asking a question? What if the government could monitor your communications and break into your home?
Well, they punch me in the face.
Will you resist? Or will you freely surrender your liberties? Welcome to the new American dream.
Then welcome to RTR Radio, an integrated radio broadcasting network that brings you truth of what's really going on around you. If you're concerned about where this country is headed, tune in to RTRradio.com. While other networks wait to see what's going to happen in America, we tell you what's happening in America. Get your daily dose of truth, liberty, and justice right here on RTRradio.com.
Survival food. SurvivalFoodNow.com. We are living in uncertain times. Unless you've been living under a rock, you understand that indeed times are changing. Not only are we hearing about the energy and food crisis, but we're feeling the effects of both. SurvivalFoodNow.com has been established by a group of concerned Americans who care about the future of our families and yours. We at SurvivalFoodNow.com understand there are three basic necessities for our survival: air, water, and food. We all have air, the majority has water, but only 0.2% have a food supply. So what are you going to do? There are only two choices: be prepared or don't be prepared. The security of your family may very well depend on the choice you make. SurvivalFoodNow.com's mission is not to cause fear or panic. Our mission is simply to let our fellow countrymen know they only have two choices. SurvivalFoodNow.com knows being prepared can be a costly proposition, but it is our goal to get a storable food supply to all our members. Just $50 a month, auto ship, will keep you prepared. survivalfoodnow.com. Are you a Craigslist user? Tired of the city-by-city searching? It's a real pain, isn't it? Well, those days are over. Now you can search the entire Craigslist system with one click of your mouse. That's right, every city and every category with one click. Need a part for your car? Searching for a rare collectible? Please visit www.searchtheentirecraigslist.com. Thank you. That's www.searchtheentirecraigslist.com.
This is Liberty Talk Radio. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano. We have a call on line one, area code 408, and here we go. Caller, you're on the air. Yes, your first name and where you're calling from, please.
My name is Trevor, and I'm calling from San Jose, California. And I just wanted to call to make a comment and then ask you a question.
Surely.
Okay. Well, I'm in college right now, and I just started. And I'm reading this book called Anti-Intellectualism in America, and it's by Richard Hofstadter. It's a pretty good book. And it's basically what it's talking about is how America was founded on religion, which everybody could pretty much agree on. And I was just watching a story the other day on Lou Dobbs, and he was talking about how Congress built this new Capitol building, this visitor center in the Capitol building, and there's actually congressmen, junior congressmen, not senior congressmen, who are fighting to have God put back in the Capitol Visitor Center, because they took images and whatnot out of the Visitor Center, and they put it up, replaced it with, like, Greek symbols and stuff like that. So, that's just, that's insane. That's ludicrous. And if that's the America that I'm going to have in the future, well, why don't I just move out of this country, you know? I mean, I'm not going to do it because I love this country, but, you know, that's the feeling that a lot of people get once they start hearing about everything that's really going on. And, you know, it's easier to just to sit here and hide from the truth instead of facing it. But I'll tell you, if we were to hide from the truth back in before the revolution, we would never be here. We'd still be under British rule. And then things would probably be really bad. But my question is I'm getting financial aid through Sallie Mae right now. And who I think they're probably a sister company to Sallie Mae. So my question is, do you think that I'm going to see my scholarships go down, my financial aid go away?
I'm sorry. I repeat the question because your voice skipped. Are you on a cell phone?
Yes.
Okay. Repeat the question, please.
My question was, right now I'm getting financial aid through Sallie Mae, and I think they might be a sister company or something to Fannie Mae.
A sister company of whom?
To Fannie Mae. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac.
Okay, yes, okay. All right.
Yeah. So do you think that my financial aid is probably going to be diminished now because of this bailout or whatever?
Oh boy. Well, and what is your first name again, please?
My first name's Trevor.
Trevor. Okay, Trevor. I'm sorry. Your voice was just skipping. It's not you. It's the line. There's something wrong. But so I didn't catch that. All right, Trevor. I can't answer that question because I don't think anyone knows exactly. No one knows where the money is going and how it's going to be used and what the position of the government will be. If I said anything about that, it would just be a gut reaction that would have absolutely no substance whatsoever. But my gut reaction is that so far what the government has done is it's made political decisions. It hasn't made economic decisions. So since they make political decisions, it's my gut reaction, for whatever that's worth, that your student loans would be safe. Because if there's anything that government touts, it's education. Now, they destroy education, right, but they tout it, you know, and so we won't get into that. So the last thing any politician would want to have as a legacy, and that is having Trevor, you know, from college, going to wash dishes at McDonald's because he couldn't finish his college education.
Yeah.
That's one. So it would seem to me that that would be sacrosanct. I mean, you would be pretty safe in that regard. It's unfortunate, but that's the way our education system is primarily financed today. And I can talk about our financial system, the education system, the medical system we have. It's all the same. People don't realize that if we just paid for things out of pocket and got loans and worked and whatever, the cost of all these institutions, whether it be medical or educational, would come down dramatically. I just read of a school that actually charges no tuition whatsoever. You only pay for your room and board if you need it. And the way they do that is the students become part of the school. They work. I mean, mm-hmm. they work to maintain the school. Now, I don't know the details. I don't know how they pay their teachers. I mean, their teachers got to get money from somewhere. But basically, tuition is absolutely free of charge. But these students work part-time. Every student works in the school. And what they try to do is align their the jobs with the type of education that they're getting. For example, if they're going into restaurant management, they'd be working in the cafeteria, you know, things like that. And so it works very, very, very well. I think I'm going on my high horse now, and I'm going off the subject, obviously. But I really wish we would all take things upon ourselves and not rely on the government for a damn thing.
Right. Well, I agree with you. And you know, to go along with the last thing that you were speaking about, MIT, they did an experiment one time. They put all of their introductory courses online. And what they found out is that there was more people, significantly more people, and I don't know the numbers, people from third world countries were actually wanting to learn from MIT's introductory courses than people here in America. And
excellent,
it actually
point.
Ties into what I was that was tying into what I was saying about anti-intellectualism, because it just seems that, I mean, it doesn't take a genius to walk around or anywhere you go and find out people are just, like you said earlier on the show, people are bombarded with advertisements, and you know, It's like these big companies control everything people do. I mean, the decisions they make, I mean, the thoughts that go through their head, it's like, man, it really looks like a grim future, you know, for America, you know. And there's very little things that offer hope, especially for people who are trying to go, you know, look past all those advertisements and, you know, I don't know the word for it, but just trying to look past all that,
right,
you know. And it seems like you can't do anything valid. So you have to put everything aside, and you have to fight for your ways, your American right. ways again. So everybody else just kind of follow along behind you.
Right. I'm glad you brought up the point about what they call distance education. What they call getting your education online. Anyway, getting your education online. It's what they call it, remote education or distance education or whatever they call it. Anyway, a friend of mine just got her doctorate. And now people say, well, it's not as good as going to a school. Actually, the school that she went to and the doctorate program she signed up for was one of the toughest ones in the nation. And she worked harder there than she would have had she gone to school. And she worked for 3 years. I mean, literally day and night, she would start working on Friday night and wouldn't finish her assignments till Sunday evening. And she really earned that. So, and she had a job. She was an audiologist, and she got her doctorate. She worked full time And yet she did that. In fact, they had a place up in the lake, and they had to get a Wi-Fi and the whole bit so she can. She did nothing but for 3 years. You didn't see this woman, and she did very well. She graduated with high, very, very high marks. You know, she got her doctorate, and it's a well-respected degree. I mean, it's accepted everywhere, but there's always a way of doing it. I mean, you can get any degree. You can get your high school education online. You can get your college education online, and you can take it at your own pace. You can work full time and get rewarded for doing that. But you know, there's so many things that we can do ourselves instead of relying on somebody else. There's always something in the marketplace that will allow us to do what we want to do, Trevor.
Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you so much for calling. I do have a question for you now. Did you listen to my broadcast on the just from the internet on Blog Talk Radio or Restore the Republic Radio?
Restore the Republic Radio.
Oh, okay, very good. I'm glad to hear that, because I just like to take a little survey to see where my callers and listeners are coming from. Well, thank you very much for calling in. I appreciate your comments. They're well taken, and good luck to you.
Appreciate it. I hope you get better. I hope you feel better. And I sent you an email, too, and hopefully I hear back from you on that.
Okay, Trevor, I certainly will. Thank you so much, and good night.
All right, you bet.
Well, that was very pleasant to hear. Here's a student and reading some excellent literature from people that I have high respect for. One last thing I'd like to bring up. And this will sound a little bit, philosophical, I guess, maybe. But there's an article that I read by Lawrence W. Reed. It's in the Freeman magazine by the Foundation of Economic Education. And was it the Future of Freedom Foundation? I'm sorry, I get the, no, Freedom, yeah, Foundation of Economic Education, I was correct. And it's called Character, Liberty, and Economics. And he goes on to explain how character is ultimately more important than any college degree, public offices, or even all the knowledge that one might accumulate in a lifetime. He says, chief among the elements that define strong character are honesty, humility, responsibility, self-discipline, self-reliance, optimism, long-term focus, and a lust for learning. A free society is impossible without it. For example, dishonest people would lie, cheat, and become even bigger liars and cheaters in elected office. People who lack humility become arrogant, condescending, know-it-all, central planner types. Irresponsible citizens blame others for the consequences of their own poor judgment. People who are not disciplined, do not discipline themselves, invite the intrusive control of others. And he goes on and on. And it's so true. But when you look at it, what he's saying is that one element that is missing in our government is character. Because what do they do? They're not truly statesmen, where they're looking at a long-term focus for the country, for the good of all. They are looking to protect their turf and to retain votes, so they promise things to other people and say, don't worry about it, you don't have to pull yourself up by the bootstraps, we'll do it for you, all you have to do is vote for me. In other words, they're being dishonest, they have no character. Our government lacks that character. And we've lacked it for, since prior to World War I. World War I on, we lost it in spades, because that's when we started giving, and buying votes. And it's been getting worse ever since. And look what the president-elect Barack Obama is doing. Well, he's saying he's going to jumpstart the program. He's going to hit the ground running. What is it, office? You know, he's going to have stimulus programs. Well, a stimulus program, what does that mean? It means he is stealing money from one person and giving it to another. And the people that he's stealing it from are not even born yet, because they're going to have to pay that bill. How dishonest could you be when you steal from people who have no ability to object to it? You see, he's stealing from people who are not even born yet. When these debts are paid, we're not going to be here. We're going to be gone. But see, they can't object. That lacks character. Barack Obama Barack Obama lacks character. And as a result of lacking character, we will lose more of our freedom from that viewpoint alone. People should start understanding that. They should start questioning. And people should start reading, start questioning, start thinking. Think through the process. You know, my wife needs to get, unfortunately, an operation. And it's going to cost between $9,000 and $11,000. Well, this thing is not covered by insurance, so we have to pay for it. Well, we can scrape up the money and we will get it, and somehow we'll pay for cash for it. But you know, when she got the bill, you know, she didn't get the operation yet, but when she got the bill, it was outlined. I said, you know what we should do? I said, we should get second and third and fourth opinions and see what people think about that, whether or not the operation is necessary, which I think pretty sure it is, but whether or not what they are charging is competitive. She says, good idea. And that's going to be an interesting exercise, because if we all did that, the cost of healthcare would go down. Just think about that. And that's the problem with even our healthcare system. We're relying on somebody else to pay the bill. But if you're looking at your doctor and you're saying, you know, doctor, this is what I need, and he knows you're taking it out of your own pocket and you're not a wealthy person, he's not going to say, hey, that advice is $500. He can say, Bob, look, don't worry about it. It's okay. Here's some medication. I got samples. Take those. You'll be okay. Call me in the morning. You know, don't worry about it, you know, or, you know, $20, you know. I mean, there would be this competitiveness in the marketplace. If we made our healthcare system private, the cost of healthcare would nosedive dramatically, and we would be able to afford to buy insurance, because insurance would be much cheaper, and we would buy insurance only for those things, those catastrophic things, and the regular things we would plan for, because in our psyche, in the way we think, instead of just putting money, spending money that we don't have, we would be saving our money for things that are important. Folks, this is Liberty Talk Radio. My name is Joe Cristiano, and I think this is our sign-off time. I think after this is a commercial, and then we go off the air. I want to thank you very much. Please send your comments to comments@libertytalkradio.com. This is Joe Cristiano, Liberty Talk Radio. Thank you for listening.
Several days after the Patriot Act was passed, a printed version was made available for Congress to read. Yes, I said several days after the Patriot Act was passed. But that's not unusual. Congress routinely passes bills that has little or no time to read. I'm Jim Babka with DownsizeDC.org, and I say it's time for a new American revolution with the slogan, No Legislation Without Representation. Congress cannot claim to be representing us when they don't know what's in the bills they pass. They shouldn't take the words of lobbyists. They shouldn't rely on unelected staff. And they shouldn't take orders from the party leadership, because, after all, they're supposed to represent you. At DownsizeDC.org, you'll find a bill that should be the law of the land. It's called the Read the Bills Act. You can read it at our website, DownsizeDC.org. Better yet, you can use our simple system to tell your elected representatives to sponsor the Read the Bills Act. Write it down, DownsizeDC.org.
The economy is collapsing all around us. Banks are closing. The Federal Reserve continues to pump billions of dollars into the system to try to stop the bleeding. No, who is to blame? The Federal Reserve System. On November 22nd, the end begins. Every Federal Reserve Bank, every Federal Reserve office, 38 cities, one purpose, end the Fed. Visit endthefed.us and sign up today to get involved. Action groups are forming now at restorerepublic.net. Join us in this national grassroots action to end the Federal Reserve System. November 22nd, the end begins.
From the producer of Beyond Treason comes a new tale of deception and political spin.
We're not mining through the personal lives of millions of innocent Americans.
What if legislation that was supposed to protect our freedoms actually took them away?
Here's your Patriot Act! Here's your...
What if you could be arrested for asking a question?
Help! 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 Are you kidding? You're arresting me!
What if the government could monitor your communications and break into your home?
Well, they punched me in the face.
Will you resist? Or will you freely surrender your liberties? Welcome to the new American dream.
Hey, listen up. Join Revolution Broadcasting and Restore the Republic on Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern for Keep America Free with Amanda Moore. Amanda's a conservative talk show host with a libertarian twist. She's mad as hell, and she's not going to take it anymore. And neither should you. Join us and help keep America free. That's Wednesday nights, Friday nights, and Saturday nights.
Restore the Republic Radio News. Production date, December 2, 2008.
For Restore the Republic Radio News, I'm Rex Brockie. Last week in Oakland,